This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Fred, this is Real Science Radio.
It's Real Science Radio.
It's our new identity.
That's right. It brings a tear to my eye. Or no, that's not what brings a tear to my eye.
What?
Bill Nye brings a tear to my eye.
Bill Nye, why? What did he do?
Well, he tweeted something. It's hard to believe. He said, "Sometimes it brings tears to my eyes seeing stars and knowing some are dying." He says, "I'm just like, stay strong. I will never forget you."
This is,
you've got to be kidding me.
You know, Fred, he's like a little girl, right? God tells us that he created the universe, and the universe is evidence of his existence. And when you remove God from reality, then there's this longing in people's hearts. They see a beautiful sunset and they want to thank somebody, but they don't know who to thank.
They don't know who to thank, yeah.
And so they used to cry over a fish. You catch a fish, and liberals and atheists, they'd be sad for the fish. They'd be sad for the trees. The trees don't have any feelings. And they're sad for rocks and dirt.
Yeah.
And hydrogen atoms. He's sad for hydrogen atoms.
Bob, you know what brings a tear to my eye?
What, Fred?
Sitting down for a good meal and there's no meat on the table.
That's right. Yeah, that is sad. So, Fred, this show, we want to talk about cosmology and, in fact, cover the cosmological principle. But let's do that in a few minutes because there's a great article in the Journal of Creation on whether or not the universe has a center, and whether our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is near the center of the universe. But first, why don't we give the audience a preview of some of the shows we're going to do in the first half of the year?
Sure. I always love the January special show we have on the list of not so old things. So
yeah,
we'll go through that list again, and it'll obviously be updated.
That'll
the list
be,
just keeps yes. growing
yeah.
in our favor. We're not having to take anything off. It expands,
right.
Unlike their list that contracts.
Right. They say, look at this. This must have taken millions of years. And then it happens in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they say, well, we think normally it takes millions of years. But in this case, okay, it happened in 3 weeks. So that's our list of not so old things. Then in February, we will do our list of peer-reviewed dinosaur soft tissue papers. That's going to be fun because now they found DNA. That's new.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
And that's so that's a awesome. Major update from last year. And then what's our next list we'll do in March?
Well, the list of evidence that contradicts the Big Bang.
That's going to be fun.
Our list is expanding.
Yeah.
Like the universe.
And Lawrence Krauss, he's one of those deniers, you know.
Yeah.
He's in denial about that list.
So they're right about the inflation theory. It's just on our list of evidences contradicting the Big Bang.
Yeah, that's what's inflating. And then we have in April, our list of genomes that just don't fit. And that gets more and more amazing.
Yeah, and I think even today we'll talk about some new things for that list.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And then finally in May, the list of scholars doubting Darwinism and the Big Bang.
What a growing list that is.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot of fun. Tens of thousands of scientists and professors, scholars who are doubting these atheistic origins scenarios.
Well, the evidence is so hugely against it. You know, yeah. Hopefully we'll continue to make headways into this.
Yes. So Bill Nye, the science guy, he has a tear to his eye thinking that some stars are dying. But it brings up a good question, of course. When you look at the universe, does the universe tell us anything? There's a principle called the cosmological principle that says that the universe has no center, has no boundaries. It's the same everywhere. And no matter where you are in the universe, whatever direction you look, it will look the same.
That's right. And that's an atheistic worldview, right? That's
exactly.
their way of looking at it. That's
right.
what they want to be true.
Yeah, they want that badly.
Yes.
And so that's called isotropic, when it looks the same in every direction,
mm-hmm.
and homogeneous, meaning all the parts of it are the same wherever you look. And so there should be no special structures and certainly no center to the universe.
Okay.
Now, is that cosmological principle that claims that, is that based on data? Or is it based on philosophy?
That I'm going to vote for philosophy.
Yeah, you are, really?
Clearly now, based on philosophy.
Now, Fred, how could that be? Because most astronomers, astrophysicists, cosmologists, even physicists, most hold dearly to the cosmological principle, yet atheists are fond of saying, we don't have any beliefs. Remember Lawrence Krauss said that on this show?
Didn't Lawrence Krauss also say all evidence points to a Big Bang?
Overwhelmingly. That's right. He did. And so there's all this evidence that doesn't. But when he says, I don't have any beliefs, he's just deceiving himself, because his belief in the cosmological principle is a philosophical belief. It's not based on the science. Now, you and I are creationists. And creationists, we don't require there to be the earth near the center of the universe. That's not required from the Bible or our theology. But the atheists hate the thought, because the universe is so big. If we had a special place, a preferred place, then that smacks of the creator's interest in us.
That's right. And it kind of thwarts, in a way, their whole love of aliens and, you know, science fiction and, you know, hoping that there's other worlds out there. Hey, we're the center. Hey, we're the number one alien out there. So, there's so many reasons that they're so diametrically opposed to a center of the universe.
And it's passionate. Like Aaron Ra, not only does Lawrence Krauss say this, but Aaron Ra, who I debated, he emphatically asserted there is no center to the universe. There is no center. And so here's a few quotes from leading scientists, leading cosmologists like Stephen Hawking, cosmologist George Ellis, and we also have the University of California's Philip Gibbs. I don't know if he belongs in that list, but French astrophysicist Marie-Noëlle Cellier, and also one of my favorite physicists, Richard Feynman. And each of them are saying that the cosmological principle is a philosophy. It's not based on observation.
So they're agreeing with us, basically, that the cosmological principle is a philosophy.
Yes. And Fred, we link to their statements and we excerpt them at our website. Just do /cosmologicalprinciple.com. That'll work. In fact, /nocenter.com. Mm-hmm. That'll work, too. And here's some of their quotes. Now, Stephen Hawking had a co-author, George Ellis, American cosmologist. Okay. And Scientific American profiled Ellis, and this is what they quote him as stating. People need to be aware that there is a range of models that could explain the observations. For instance, I can construct you a spherically symmetrical universe with Earth at its center, and you cannot disprove it based on observations. You can only exclude it on philosophical grounds. Mm. What I want to bring into the open is the fact that we are using philosophical criteria in choosing our models. A lot of cosmology tries to hide that.
A lot of cosmology.
Yeah. So that's cool. And although Lawrence Krauss denies that he has beliefs, which is such a stupid thing to claim, and Aaron Ross says there is no center to the universe, that's their bias, their prejudice. That's not the data.
That's their worldview. It's a philosophy, not evidence.
Yeah. So let me bring to you a couple of real brief quotes from Stephen Hawking and Ellis, who wrote together The Large-Scale Structure of Space-Time. In their book on page 134, they write that scientists are not able to make cosmological models without some mixture of ideology, of a belief system, of philosophy. The University of California's Philip Gibbs wrote this, and we link to these things. You could find them yourself. Despite the discovery of a great deal of structure in the distribution of galaxies. Now, they should be random.
You'd expect them to be random, but we see a pattern, right?
All right. The Big Bang model predicts random distribution of galaxies, not massive structures.
That's right.
So here we read from University of California. Despite the discovery of a great deal of structure in the distribution of the galaxies, most cosmologists still hold to the cosmological principle, either for philosophical reasons or because it is a useful working hypothesis. Like, it makes your calculations easier.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's true. It just makes them easier. So then they look at the data from supernova, and they say, well, these supernova, when stars explode like this, they're like standard candles that help us measure and map out the universe. Mm-hmm. And French astrophysicist Marie-Noëlle Cellier, she wrote this, quote, and we link to this stuff. Ruling out the cosmological principle is a valid interpretation of the supernova data. So she says, when you look at the data, one valid interpretation of it is that the cosmological principle is false. That's not true. And so then I have a last one, and this is from a Nobel Prize winning physicist, Richard Feynman. He wrote one of my favorite books, QED, on quantum electrodynamics. And he wrote this. He said this in a lecture, and it's in one of his books. I suspect that the assumption of uniformity of the universe reflects a prejudice. It would be embarrassing to find, after stating that we live on an ordinary planet about an ordinary star in an ordinary galaxy, it would be embarrassing to find that our place in the universe is extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
To avoid embarrassment, we cling to the hypothesis of uniformity.
The hypothesis. So yeah. Really, translation to philosophy. Again, it's not science, it's philosophy.
Yes.
These evolutionist atheist scientists, they're admitting to this, right? Why is it so easy to find guys on their own side that contradict what they're saying?
Right, because what they're saying is more like marketing hype
for
atheism. Yeah. And they like to pretend that they're so scientific.
Yeah.
We don't have any beliefs. It's you Christians who have beliefs. We have no beliefs. We believe nothing.
Yeah.
Only the facts surround us, engulf us. So, Fred, we come now to this Journal of Creation article. And the Journal of Creation, it's a technical journal. It's not for all readers.
Yeah, technical peer-reviewed journal by other scientists.
Like, we love the Creation magazine. That's for a general audience. This is not, right? This is for technically minded readers.
That's right. It's actually a great journal for the layman, but there's a lot of technical stuff in here, and you have to really glean through that.
Yeah, the layman who is determined to try hard to follow the scientific articles.
That's right.
And so there is an article in here. Who's this by?
Dr. John Hartnett.
Yeah.
He's an astrophysicist, a creationist.
Yes.
And he's got a great article on these concentric circles. What are we talking about? Galaxies?
Galaxies.
That surround our galaxies. And we've used this argument before. You know, as we look at the redshift.
This is an update.
You know what redshift is, right, Bob? It's kind of like the Doppler effect.
Yeah, like when an ambulance passes by its siren or a police car, the siren goes up in pitch as it's approaching you. And then as it goes away from you, it goes down in pitch.
And so you can get an idea of the level of pitch of how far away it is, right?
Well, yeah, whether it's coming toward you or going away based on that shift. And so with stars, you don't hear the stars, you see their light. And if the star's coming towards you, then you should have a blue shift because the waves will be compressed. But if it's moving away from you, these galaxies, they should be redshifted because the light waves are spreading apart.
Yeah, that's right. So what we've observed over the years, and these are observations that come from secular journals, that we're seeing the galaxies surround our galaxies. They're falling on concentric circles. So kind of imagine a dartboard. We're at the center.
Wow.
And then as you go out, each ring, they're falling on
preferential distances from the center. Now, this is actual data that could be used then to say, well, what does the universe really look like? Is there a center or is there not? And so all the atheists hate this data.
They hate this data because it really does argue for a center.
It implies that there's a center. As the evidence is coming in, the argument is getting stronger and stronger, as we'll see here. Now, just to look at the history of this a moment, you have this claim that the church taught a flat earth. Is that true? Do you know?
No, that's a myth. That's revisionist history by some bad textbook.
It's like Voltaire. It's just bogus.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, in fact, the Flat Earth Society today, we always joke, right? Because the president of it is a Darwinist.
He's a Darwinist. That's right.
Right. So he's on their side. He's not on our side.
But if you go back and look at historical documents, does it show scholars believing in a flat earth?
No, that's a fabrication to its prejudice to make people think that the church advocated this falsehood.
You can find the occasional very obscure references.
Yeah, just like today. You don't have church leaders, historians documenting. It's false. It's a lie.
So what is evidence of, there was a flat earth society way back then, too.
Way back then. There was, right, it had seven people in it.
Wackos back then, too.
Yeah. So now geocentrism, that's blamed on the church. But when you study that, it turns out that it was Plato and Aristotle who presented geocentrism to the West, and it was adopted by other astronomers and thinkers and philosophers. And so this pagan Greek cosmology became embedded, and the church leadership accepted it, not that it came out of the Bible. It did not. The church leadership accepted it because of their commitment to Greek philosophy, to Plato and Aristotle.
That's right.
And we document that elsewhere in our debates on open theism and all. And so that's why the church held to geocentrism. It was because of a commitment to Plato and Aristotle.
You can't refer to verses in the Bible. There's a couple that they really mangle.
Like the earth shall not be moved. And it says, and we shall not be moved. We shall not. In other words, if you're in God's plan, then you have an eternal purpose. And if you're not in God's plan, then you're in big trouble. You're like the vapor that's gone. You're like the chaff that blows away.
So they jump through hoops. They really extrapolate to try to get that to say, hey, that Bible says we're the center of the universe. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. But of course, it could be. It might be or it might not be. So we're open to the data, whereas the atheists are very resistant to the data. So now we come to this article, Where Are We in the Universe? Is Our Galaxy Near the Center of the Universe? And this is fun stuff, because when you look at the maps, have you looked at any of the maps, Fred, of the galaxies? And there are leading astronomy consortiums that are publishing the databases and then the maps and three-dimensional maps of hundreds of thousands of galaxies.
Yeah, so I've seen them, and they've got one picture in the journal here, and you do see somewhat of a pattern of concentric shells, right?
It sort of looks loosely like an onion, or like a dartboard, what your analogy was. It looks like the shells. So what they say is, I don't see that. You know, that's just you. You want to see it, but I don't see it. So then what happens is scientists do mathematical analyses where they use standard equations, and they feed the data into these computational machines, and it spits out whether or not there are concentric shells, whether there's a sphere, and whether or not there's a center. And that analysis is turning out over and over again to say, you know what? It looks like there's a center to the universe.
So we have math on our side.
We do. And now decades of this kind of analysis. And John Hartnett's here. This is just the latest example, right?
That's right.
Where he shows that mathematical analysis of the galaxies indicates that these galaxies have a preferred distance from the center of the universe. And so that's what the evidence from redshift data is suggesting. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And you know what's really cool about this article, Bob, that really stood out for me was he tries to, in a way, think like an atheist and how they try to get out of this problem.
Yeah.
And so they'll use excuses like observational bias. You know, maybe the data looks like that because of where we are.
Right.
And so he has a way to look at the data that's really interesting how that's refuted.
It is so cool. So let's talk about that. You know how you have optical illusions and then you have a mirage? In an optical illusion, it makes you think you're seeing something that's not really there. A mirage is captured by a camera. A mirage is a real physical effect. Like if you're in the desert and it looks like there's water, or it's a hot summer day and it looks like there's water on the highway ahead of you, that's a mirage. It's actually in the visual data coming to you.
Yeah.
But it's misleading you into thinking something that's not true. So the question is it a mirage? Is it like an optical illusion or a physical one, a mirage? Or is it true that the galaxies form a shape that shows the universe has a center? So what is the evidence that he presents, Fred, that indicates that it seems like this data is really telling us that the cosmological principle is false? What is his argument?
Well, it's pretty cool. We assumed, at least I did before, that this evidence showed that we're exactly at the center. But if it's an optical illusion, you know, maybe it's possible because I'm dead center that I maybe have this illusion. But what's cool about what he observed is this, is that all this data is slightly off center.
Yes.
And so by making something slightly off center, you can't use this illusion argument. It goes away.
Right. If it was something we're reading into the redshift data, that no matter where you were in the universe, you would have this mirage effect. So what you're seeing is really only in the redshift space. It's just in the data. It's not real. He argues that, well, then it would appear like you were in the center. Because if you're looking, say, from the equator to the North Pole to the northern hemisphere in space, it would look the same as if you're looking to the south. So you'd see that error in the data, so to speak.
Everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere.
In the same direction.
But we don't. What we see is that it looks like our galaxy is located about 125 million light years from the center of the universe.
And given the size of the universe, we're extremely close to the center, right? But we're slightly offset.
Right.
So it refutes this argument that this is an illusion. It's really cool.
Yeah. I tried to get a picture of how close to the center we would be if you could look at the whole universe. Like if you blew up a party balloon and it was 13 inches in diameter. So imagine you're holding a balloon in your hands in front of you.
And that's the universe.
That's the universe. And then go to the exact center of that balloon and go off by 1/16th of an inch.
So you're extrapolating the data to this 13-inch balloon.
Right.
And when you do that, we'd be only off by 1/16th of an inch from the very center.
From the very center.
So you wouldn't be able to tell with the naked eye, obviously, that, hey, that looks dead center to me.
Right. It would look dead center. And so what's interesting is when you try to figure out, to make even that kind of an analogy, well, how big is the universe? You get all kinds of wildly different, even from atheists, and they say there's no center, there are no boundaries. You go off in one direction, you come back where you started. So they have a really hard time just saying how big might the universe be. And mm-hmm. they'll say it's hundreds of billions of light years or who knows how big. But the bigger it is, the closer this would show we are to the center. But what I did for that analogy is I took the furthest known galaxy, which is believed to be 13.3 billion years from us, billion light years from us. And so that would mean that we're, you know, 1/16th of an inch from the dead center of that balloon. So pretty close to the center. Now, Fred, could we go back and let people know, what are these maps of the universe? What are they? How many galaxies are they beginning to map? They're not done, but they do think they will be done with all galaxies that we're able to identify, not in a thousand years, but within the next few years. They think they're going to be done, at least with the first draft, sort of like the first draft of the human genome.
Yeah. So I know that a couple of them are the Sloan Digital Sky Survey.
Yeah, that one has now almost 500,000 galaxies. We're not talking about stars. The average galaxy has, what, 100, 200 billion?
Billions of stars.
Stars. We're talking about galaxies.
Galaxies with the billions of stars in them.
Showing how powerful God is.
And how many millions in this particular map?
We're approaching 500,000 galaxies that have been now mapped in three dimensions in the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. But then there's another one.
The other one is the Field Galaxy Redshift Survey. How many does that have?
That's approaching 250,000.
Okay.
So, and there's overlap. But what's interesting is what they do is they run the analysis. And it's called a Fourier analysis. Fourier is a mathematical analysis, a discrete Fourier transformation. They look at histograms that are determined by binning. Now, I know most people would have no idea what that means. But binning, you look at the redshift, and that's just the number. You look at a galaxy. The galaxy is averaging the light from billions of stars, and you get a redshift number. And so you put that in a bin. And you put all the galaxies that have that number in the same bin. And then you have to decide, okay, how much of a different number is the next bin and the bin after that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the computer then just puts them all in bins and it analyzes, are there preferential differences? And this is not an analysis that was invented by creationists. This is just worldwide industry standard analysis. And lo and behold, and this has been going on for decades now, this is just the latest example that I'm familiar with. Over and over, they're saying, you know what? Not only could you see it with your eyes, but it's in the data, very clear spheres, concentric circles of galaxies.
Yeah. So again, the science, the math is supporting this data.
Yeah. And you know what I also enjoyed was that when they looked at those two maps separately, the Sloan one and then the Field Galaxy Redshift Survey. They ran the numbers combining the data. They ran the numbers with them separate, and they confirmed the same results. The same thing you could see with your eye.
With your eye, and two different field maps of space, right?
Yeah.
So the data is overwhelming. You know, it reminds me, who was that astronomer we had on the show that builds the telescopes? Jim Burr. Came from their deep space telescope, the Hubble telescope deep space map.
Yeah.
And he said, just looking through a pixie straw, you would look at a piece of space that would have 25,000 galaxies just in that little piece.
Wow.
25,000 galaxies that each have billions of stars.
Wow.
And what was the verse in Genesis about the stars in the universe? You can't count them.
Yeah, they cannot be numbered.
You can count them by the naked eye, right? If you looked in the sky, you can count about 2,000
stars.
So scientific knowledge outside of the realm of man, God's saying this in recording.
And God named
recorded
all
in the Bible.
The stars. He named them.
Wow.
So, Fred, a few excerpts now from John Hartnett in his article. He says that it is assumed, he says the standard cosmology involves the assumption of the cosmological principle. It is assumed that looking at redshift is looking back over time, and in the light of the cosmological principle, there is no special or preferred frame to view the universe from. So when we have Lawrence Krauss on this show, theoretical physicist, emphasis on the theoretical, and he says, I don't believe anything. I have no beliefs. I'm bathed in facts. He's deluding himself as though he's the high priest of a cult because he believes in the cosmological principle, and that is not based on facts. It's based on bias.
Bias and philosophy.
Right. I love this, how Hartnett gives sort of a summary. He says, if the effect is real, it means that the galaxies are physically situated in concentric shells, which in an expanding universe are moving away from us near the center. This interpretation also suggests that the universe we see around us has a special place, a center, and we are nearby. We're near the center.
Wow.
This idea is at odds with the cosmological principle, which has its origin in the notion that there is no creator, there's no God, no design, and no purpose in the universe. Therefore, the idea that we may be living at or near the center of the universe is abhorrent to all those who hold to atheist worldviews or a non-biblical worldview.
Yeah, and he closes with the great creationist verse, the Romans 1, about God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, if anything, that's what brings a tear to my eye, that they'll reject this obvious evidence and instead worship the creation rather than creator, and then cry about a dying star and want to be strong about that.
And Fred, I was interviewed by Steve Dace, nationally syndicated show a few weeks ago, and the host stopped me and said, now, can you say that one more? Did you just say that you're the pastor of a Bible church and you just debated theoretical physicist Lawrence Krauss? Did you just actually say that? I said, sure. Any Christian who follows God's word can understand the science better than
the atheist scientist. And we'll be willing to provide that talk on a DVD. And I have a feeling Krauss won't be doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. Our website, realscienceradio.com, and help us out. Buy from the store.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.